We come now to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. Now what we have in this section here concerning spiritual gifts. In chapter 12, we saw the endowment of gifts. And gifts were given to maintain the unity of the church in a diversity, each one having a separate gift, then all together could function as the body function with its many members. The eye just can't do what the ear does, and the ear can't do what the eye does, and each must function in his own way. Now, we are put in by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, and we're put in to exercise a gift. Now, Paul says, as he came to the end of chapter 12, covet earnestly the best gifts, but he says, I show you a more excellent way, and that is by love. Chapter 13 is on the subject of love, and then he concluded that by saying, the greatest of these is love, and follow after love. Now, he says, this is the way, follow right on in it, and then, he says, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. Now, he says, you should want spiritual gifts. It'd be, I think, unusual if a Christian didn't. You're to desire spiritual gifts, but here it's spiritualities. Desire the things that are spiritual, but that you may prophesy. Now he says that you may speak the word of God, speak it simply, speak it intelligently. That is the thing. Now you see, what he's done is this. He makes a distinction between the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. That's more important than the gifts of the Spirit, actually. When someone came to me, and I think a very sincere person, and said, Dr. McGee, I'm going to pray that you receive the gift of the Spirit. And I said, fine, I appreciate your interest, but pray rather that I may have not the gift, but I may have the fruit of the Spirit. I wish I could see more fruit of the Spirit in the lives of believers and in myself than to see all this business of gifts today, and especially of tongues. I like to see more love. That is the thing that is important, and that's actually the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Only the Spirit of God can produce fruit in our lives. Now, we are told here, therefore, but rather that ye should prophesy. Now, actually, what Paul's trying to do is to get the Corinthians off of this kick of tongues. What he's saying to them in this whole section is, cool it, brethren. Don't go off into fanaticism or go off into this emotional binge that you're on. Now he says, hold this thing in right proportion. And he said in 1 Corinthians 13:8, there be tongues, what did he say? They shall cease, or they shall stop. And that's just like that word stop that is at the highway when I come up to it in my car. And that traffic officer, he told me that S-T-O-P means stop. And I'm afraid a great many folk do not understand what Paul is saying here. Paul says, where there be tongues, they're going to stop. And it was Dr. Robertson who made the statement, tongues seem to have ceased first of all the gifts. Chrysostom made this statement. He says this whole passage is very obscure, but the obscurity arises from our ignorance of the facts described, which, though familiar to those to whom the apostle wrote, have ceased to occur. That is the need for the things that are mentioned here. Now, it's quite interesting, and we should have this in mind as we enter this chapter. Jesus never spoke in tongues. The apostles, after Pentecost, did not speak in tongues. There is actually no historical record of Paul speaking in tongues, although he acknowledges that he spoke in tongues. Here in verse 18, he says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. And it was not an unknown tongue. I did not realize the importance of this and the import of it until I was in Turkey. And I want to say to you that when I was in these seven churches, and Paul obviously preached in all of them, And then you go way out into the interior of Turkey, into Anatolia, and you recognize that all the way from Tarsus, his hometown, he had walked across that section hundreds of miles, and there was tribe after tribe. They had a different tongue. And I often wondered, how in the world did Paul speak to them? Just as they spoke, my friend, on the day of Pentecost, every man heard them speaking in his own tongue. And Paul says, if you want tongues, he says, go out on the mission field and start speaking in the language of these people. Now today, God has raised up certain organizations like Wycliffe, and there are other organizations that are translating the Bible into all of these tongues today. And that, my friend, is the greatest tongues movement that I know anything about. Now, Paul was caught up to the third heaven. He tells us he heard unspeakable words. Now, I don't think they were unknown words. They were just words that he was not permitted to speak. Tongues are not a rapturous, ecstatic, mysterious language. It's not a mixed-up medley of rhapsody. Tongues were a foreign language, as it was on the day of Pentecost. That is our guideline, of course.